Chapter 7, Poles Uprooted. What changes in the motion of Earth, Moon, and Mars resulted from the contacts in the 8th and 7th centuries? The Moon, being smaller than Mars, would have been greatly influenced by Mars if it came close enough to that planet. It could have been drawn nearer to the Earth or pulled away to a more remote orbit. It is thereafter of interest to investigate whether, in the time shortly after 687 BC, reforms of the lunar calendar were undertaken. Also, the Earth could have been removed from her place, which would have meant a change in the orbital circumference and thus in the length of the year, or in the inclination of the terrestrial axis to the plane of the ecliptic and thus in the seasons, in the position of the poles on the terrestrial globe, in the velocity of axial rotation, and in the length of the day, and so on. Some of these changes could be traced if a chart of the sky, drawn in a period prior to 687 BC, could be examined. Such a chart does exist. It is painted on the ceiling of the tomb of Senmut, the Egyptian vizier. As explained previously, the tomb dates from a time following the Exodus but before the days of Amos and Isaiah. The charts of Senmut show the sky over Egypt at two different epochs. One of them depicts the sky of Egypt before the poles were interchanged, probably in the catastrophe that terminated the Middle Kingdom. The other represents the sky of Egypt in the lifetime of Senmut. The first chart startled the investigators because in it, west and east are reversed. Their judgment of the chart, in which west and east are not reversed, is as follows. It is not surprising to find that the celestial charts, which have been preserved until our time, did not correspond to direct observations, nor to the calculations made at the moment of erection of the monument on which these charts are pictured. Modern astronomy does not admit, or even consider, the possibility that at some historical time east and west, as well as south and north, were reversed. Consequently, the first chart could not have been interpreted at all. The other chart, with its displaced constellations, suggested to the author of the above quotation that it depicted some more ancient tradition. The only change, according to modern astronomy, comes from the precession of the equinoxes or the slow movement of the polar axis, which describes a circle in the course of about 26,000 years. The computation of the precession is insufficient by far to explain the position of the constellations on the chart if we rely on the conventional chronology, and even more so if we follow the revised chronology, which brings the age of Senmut and Queen Hatshepsut closer to modern times. The changes in the geographical position and cosmic direction of the poles caused by the catastrophes of the 8th and 7th centuries, as well as those brought about by the catastrophes of the 15th century, can be studied with the help of the astronomical charts of Senmut. According to Seneca, the Great Bear had been the polar constellation. After a cosmic upheaval shifted the sky, a star of the Little Bear became the polar star. Hindu astronomical tablets composed by the Brahmins in the first half of the first millennium before the present era show a uniform deviation from the expected position of the stars at the time the observations were made, the precession of the equinoxes being taken into consideration. Modern scholars wondered at this, in their opinion, inexplicable error. In view of the geometrical methods employed by Hindu astronomy and its detailed method of calculation, a mistaken observation equal to even a fraction of a degree would be difficult to account for. In Jaiminiya Upanishad Brahmana, it is written that the center of the sky, or the point around which the firmament revolves, is the Great Bear. This is the same statement we found in Thyestes of Seneca. In Egypt, too, quote, the Great Bear played the part of the pole star. The Great Bear never set. Could it be that the precession of equinoxes shifted the direction of the axis so that 3,000 or 4,000 years ago, the polar star was among the stars of the Great Bear? No. If the Earth moved all the time as it moves now, 4,000 years ago, the star nearest the North Pole must have been A. Draconis. The change was sudden. The Great Bear came bowing down. In the Hindu sources, it is said that the Earth receded from its wonted place, by 100 yojanas, a yojana being 5 to 9 miles. Thus, the displacement was estimated at from 500 to 900 miles. The origin of the polar star is told in many traditions all over the world. The Hindus of the Vedas worship the polar star, Drora, the fixed or immovable. In the Puranas, it is narrated how Drora became the polar star. The Lapps venerate the polar star and believe that if it should leave its place, the earth would be destroyed in a great conflagration. The same belief is found among the North American Indians. The day on which the shortest shadow is cast at noon is the day of the summer solstice. The longest shadow at noon is cast on the day of the winter solstice. This method of determining the seasons by measuring the length of the shadows was applied in ancient China as well as in other countries. We possess the Chinese records of the longest and shortest shadows at noontime. These records are attributed to 1100 BC. Quote, "But the shortest and longest shadows recorded do not really represent the true lengths at present." End quote. The old Chinese charts record the longest day with a duration which, quote, "does not represent the various geographical latitudes of their observatories," end quote, and therefore the figures are supposed to have been those of Babylonia, borrowed by ancient Chinese, a rather unusual conjecture. The length of the longest day in a year depends on the latitude, or the distance from the pole, and is different at different places. Gnomons or sundials can be built with great precision. Here we have a relevant footnote. A gnomon, 277 feet high, built by Toscanelli in 1468 during the Renaissance for the cathedral in Florence, shows midday to within half a second. From R. Wolf's Handbuch der Astronomie. Back to the original text. The Babylonian astronomical tablets of the 8th century provide exact data, according to which the longest day at Babylon was equal to 14 hours 24 minutes, whereas the modern determination is 14 hours 10 minutes and 54 seconds. Quote, "The difference between the two figures is too great to be attributable to refraction, which makes the sun still visible over the horizon after it is set. Thus, the greatest length of the day corresponds to latitude 34 degrees 57 minutes and points to a place 2.5 degrees farther to the south. We stand, therefore, before a strange riddle, vor einem merkwürdigen Rätsel. One tries to decide. Either the tablets of System 2 do not originate from Babylon, though referring to Babylon, or this city actually was situated far farther to the north, about 35 degrees away from the equator. Since the computations of the astronomical tablets did refer to Babylon, there is a possible solution that Babylon was situated at a latitude of 35 degrees from the equator, much farther to the north than the ruins of this city. Claudius Ptolemy, who, in his Almagest, made computation for contemporaneous and ancient Babylon, arrived at two different estimates of the longest day at that city, and consequently the latitude at which it was located, one of his estimates being practically of the present-day value, the other coinciding with the figure of the ancient Babylonian tables, 14 hours, 24 minutes. The Arabian medieval scholar Arzachel computed from ancient codices that in more ancient times Babylon was situated at a latitude of 35 degrees 0 minutes from the equator, while in later times it was situated more to the south. Johannes Kepler drew attention to this calculation of Arzachel and to the fact that between ancient and modern Babylon there was a difference in latitude. Thus, Ptolemy, and likewise Arzachel, computed that in historical times Babylon was situated at latitude 35 degrees. Modern scholars arrived at identical results on the basis of ancient Babylonian computations. Quote, "This much, therefore, is certain. Our tables, System 2 and 1 also, and the astronomers mentioned as well, point to a place about 35 degrees north latitude. Is it possible that they were mistaken by 2 to 2.5 degrees? This is scarcely believable. As there was but one Babylon, its location, at some historical time at 35 degrees north latitude signifies that at the longitude of Babylon, the Earth since then has turned toward the south, and the direction of the polar axis, or its geographical location, or both, have undergone displacement. Some of the classic authors knew that the Earth had changed its position and had turned toward the south. Not all of them, however, were aware of the real cause of this perturbation. Diogenes Laertius repeated the teaching of Leucippus, quote, "The earth was bent or inclined toward the south because the northern regions grew rigid and inflexible by the snowy and cold weather which ensued thereon." This was a translation by Whiston in his New Theory of the Earth. The modern version of L.D. Hicks differs greatly. The same idea is found in Plutarch, who quoted the teaching of Democritus, quote, "The northern regions were ill-temperate, but the southern were well, whereby the latter, becoming fruitful, waxed greater, and, by an overweight, preponderated and inclined the whole that way." Empedocles, quoted by Plutarch, taught that the north was bent from its former position, whereupon the northern regions were elevated and the southern depressed. Anaxagoras taught that the pole received a turn and that the world became inclined toward the south. As we have seen, Seneca in Theestes correctly ascribed the displacement of the pole to a cosmic catastrophe. Temples and obelisks. In classic authors, references can be found to the fact that the temples of the ancient world were built facing the rising sun. Orientation toward the sun is, at the same time, orientation toward the visible planets, as all of them travel through the signs of the zodiac or in the ecliptic. The sun changes the point of its rising and setting from one day to another, and the ecliptic makes a corresponding slow swing from one solstice to another. Therefore, for the purposes of accurate observation of whether the terrestrial pole shifted in a sudden way, it was necessary to build the temple observatories not simply facing the east and the west, but with a device that would permit checking the positions of the sun on the days of the vernal and autumnal equinoxes, when the sun rises exactly in the east and sets exactly in the west. The Tractate Eruban of the Jerusalem Talmud records the surprising fact that the Temple of Jerusalem was so built that on the two equinoctial days, the first rays of the rising sun shone directly through the eastern gate. The eastern gate was kept closed during the year, but was opened on these 2 days for this very purpose. The first ray of the equinoctial sun shone through the eastern gate and into the very heart of the temple. There was no sun worship in this arrangement. It was dictated by the events of the past, when the position of the earth, in relation to the rising and setting points of the sun, was moved in world catastrophes. The fall equinox was observed as New Year's Day. This ceremony with the equinoctial sun was old. The Babylonian temples also had, quote, "the gate of the rising sun and the gate of the setting sun." With the growing belief that there would be no more changes in the world system, a belief expressed also by Deutero-Isaiah, chapter 66, verse 22, the eastern gate of the Jerusalem temple was closed forever. It will be opened in messianic times. Although unaware of these ancient practices and literary references to the orientation of the temples, a writer of the end of the 19th century came to the conclusion that the temples of the ancient world faced the sunrise. He found considerable evidence in the position of temples, but he wondered also that there were deliberate changes in the orientation of the foundations of some older temples. Quote, "The many changes in direction of the foundations at Eleusis revealed by the French excavations were so very striking and suggestive that the author asked whether there was possible astronomical origin for the direction of the temple and the various changes in direction. Further investigation by other authors revealed the fact that generally only the temples of a later time faced the east, and that earlier temples, built before the 7th century, had their foundations purposely directed. The same orientation can be traced in a number of archaic foundations, away from the present east. Knowing by now that the Earth repeatedly shifted the direction of the sunrise and sunset, we understand the changes in the orientation of the foundations as the result of changes in nature. Thus, we have in the foundations of the temples, like that of Eleusis, a record of the changing direction of the terrestrial axis and the position of the pole. The temple was destroyed by catastrophes and rebuilt each time with a different orientation. Besides the temples and their gates, the obelisks also serve the purpose of fixing the direction of east and west, or of sunrise and sunset, on equinoctial days. As this purpose was not perceived, the object for which the obelisks were built seemed enigmatic. Quote, "The origin and religious significance of the obelisks are somewhat obscure. Two pillars were erected before the Temple of Solomon, but their purpose is not revealed in the scriptures. In America, obelisk pillars were built too. Sometimes a ring was set on the vertex of the pillar for the sun's rays to pass through." Quote, "The solstices and equinoxes were carefully observed. Stone pillars were erected, 8 on the east and 8 on the west of Cuzco, to observe the solstices. At the heads of the pillars there were discs for the sun's rays to enter. Marks were made on the ground, which had been leveled and paved. Lines were drawn to mark the movement of the sun. To ascertain the time of the equinoxes, there was a stone column in the open space before the temple of the sun, in the center of a large circle. The instrument was called Intihuatana, which means the place where the sun is tied up or encircled. There are Intihuatanas on the height of Ollantaytambo, at Pisac, at Hattankala, and in other places." The Egyptian obelisk could serve as a gnomon, or shadow clock. The length of the shadow in its direction would indicate the hour of the day. Obelisks, placed in pairs, served as a calendar. On the vernal and autumnal equinoxes, their shadows would be continuous for the length of the day, the sun rising exactly in the east and setting exactly in the west. That the purpose for which the obelisks were erected was to check on the shadow of the sun, and the position of the earth, can be plainly seen from this passage of Pliny. Quote, "The obelisk of Sethothis, brought from Egypt, that has been erected in the Campus Martius in Rome, has been applied to a singular purpose by the late Emperor Augustus, that of marking the shadow projected by the sun, and so measuring the length of the days and nights." End quote. Then there follows this remark, quote, "For nearly the last 30 years, however, the observations derived from this dial have been found not to agree. Whether it is that the sun itself has changed its course in consequence of some derangement of the heavenly system, or whether that the whole earth has been in some degree displaced from the center, a thing that I have heard say has been remarked in other places as well, or whether that some earthquake, confined to this city only, has wrenched the dial from its original position, or whether it is that in consequence of the inundations of the Tiber, the foundations of the mass have subsided." End quote. The passage indicates that Pliny envisaged every possible cause, not excluding the one known to have occurred in earlier times when, in the language of Plutarch, the pole received a turn or inclination, or in the words of Ovid, "Earth sank a little lower than her wonted place."